Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The gospel reading for today has those words, "The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He will be put to death, but 3 days later he will rise to life." And he talks about us taking up our crosses. As Good Friday draws closer, the references, well, they'll happen that in more frequency, if you will, as the cross looms larger and larger in that life of Jesus. In fact, in the coming weeks, you're going to hear about crosses in several of the messages. There seems to be no turning away from it. It's there in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus agonizes over those events of the next day, because he knows that he will suffer much, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and finally be put to death. There will be a cruel and a terrible way. And in prayer, he pleads for another way, but in the end, he willingly looks toward the cross, because he knows that that is the only way to fulfill the Father's plan for all of humanity. And when Jesus spoke about this and what was to happen, he said in a way, the Son of Man must suffer much. Note that word, must. Not because he was a victim, but because it was the path that the Father had chosen from the very beginning. And it was a tough road to travel. The thought of suffering and pain and the cruelty of the cross, that would make anyone shudder, and he too looks at that. But that's the way it must be. There is no other way. And from that moment on, Jesus, when he was born, there is the shadow of the cross that falls across his life. Think back, Mary held that tiny new life in her arms in the temple on the eighth day, and she's told by Simeon, even at that point, that there will be those who oppose this precious child, and sorrow will break her heart, and she would witness what others would do to him. And we know from history and scripture that scripture played it out there before the cross. And we're told about Joseph, a righteous man, and he knew the scriptures if he was righteous, and he would have known that when that angel tells him that the child that Mary was carrying was the one that was foretold by the prophet Isaiah, the Savior, Joseph, he probably made that connection also from Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, the Messiah. The disciple Peter, certainly he didn't grasp all of that, it appears, from the lesson today. And well, he tries to give Jesus a good scolding, but that's nonsense. It's ludicrous to mention it, but he didn't want to bear that, or to hear those words that the Son of Man must suffer much. Artists have tried to portray and capture the life of Jesus and how it's lived under the shadow of the cross. I don't know who the artist is here, but the imagery of that scene, that there's the toddler Jesus playing in Joseph's workshop while his father is busy. If you can see it there, the light is streaming through the window, and it's like the light of the divine Father revealing and shining on that small boy, creating the shadow in the form of a cross. And what is the boy playing with? Nails. Three horrible looking nails, one for each hand and one for the feet. And in the background, Joseph is hammering, pounding with that hammer, and it's there as though he's driving the sins of in those nails into his son's hands. Does Joseph, hammer in hand, represent all of us who are responsible for Jesus' death on the cross? Well, there's other pictures. Jesus as a young man, and there the shadow of the cross falling in the background, Hunt Holman's shadow of death. The gospel writers also aware the cross overshadows Jesus' life. And in the beginning of John's gospel, John the Baptist proclaims, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Remember, the only way the sacrificial lamb is able to symbolize reconciliation between God and humanity was the death of that lamb. As Jesus said to those disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected, and he will be put to death." We're also told that the reading from today in Mark of our lives that overshadows the cross, and Jesus said, and calling the crowds to him but his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus isn't talking about carrying two beams of wood in the shape of a cross or anything like that. He is talking about being faithful in that calling as disciples of Christ. Notice, let him. Same meaning as must again. And like the cross overshadowed the life of Jesus, it wasn't a matter of, "I'll do it if it suits me," or if, rather, there is the only one way. He won't do it simply when it's in, won't do it because it's inconvenient or cumbersome, the cross. He says, "Pick up a cross and follow him." That word must, or let him, inherently is that calling to obedience, compelling, urging, persuading us to be like Christ and to follow his way. But crosses are not easy to carry. Look how hard and harsh and horrible it is for Jesus to fulfill that calling and carry his cross. And being a disciple, letting the love and the forgiveness of Christ influence everything in the lives that we go about, that's not easy. But Jesus carried the ultimate cross. Our cross is the scorn of the world that simply we carry as because we are disciples. Let's go back to that picture of the toddler Jesus, that divine light shining on him, forming the shadow of the cross. You might say it happened to us at our baptism. And through that simple act of water and connected with God's word and baptism, there we receive the sign of the cross and we live under the shadow of the cross. Or you could look at it this way, at our baptism, the light of Christ came into our lives, and now and everywhere we go, everything we do and say, every relationship, every trial and upset, every victory, the shadow of the cross is cast on. And when we receive that mark of the cross at our baptism, it means that what Jesus did for us on his cross and through his resurrection is now applied to us personally. The Bible talks about being joined with Christ, being in union in Christ, and sharing in his death and resurrection. It's there that we are made holy and spotless before God. And Paul uses that term, in Christ, again and again. We're saved and belong to Christ forever. The cross over our lives determines who we are and what kind of lives we live. The cross determines how we treat and interact with others and where we place God in our lives. The cross affects what we say and how we say it. It affects our attitudes, our values, and so we see people in our lives in different eyes. We live under the shadow of the cross because the cross changes us and influences us to be caring and encouraging and helpful. And under the shadow of the cross, We also become aware of our failures because we see the sin in our lives. The cross reminds us that Jesus came to destroy sin and to restore that relationship with our God, between God and us and between one another. Here at this place, Grace Lutheran, we live under the shadow of the cross. We see it symbolically represented throughout our church. In the top of the building, there's a cross. In the windows, in the front, the furnishings have crosses. It's there to remind us of the significance of that. And the cross always is that symbol that reminds us of Jesus' love, of his forgiveness, of his commitment and faithfulness to us, his patience, his kindness, his compassion, his care for each of us. And the renewal, that fresh start that he gives us each and every day. The change that Jesus brought into our lives. The cross and its message shines a bright light over us, that the shadow of the cross is over the things that we do and the people that we are around. The message of the cross changes things. It changes people. It changes relationships. And we want to be more like Christ, who gave himself for us. And we want that message of the cross to change us so that we are no longer simply focused on ourselves and what we want, but we want that love of Christ to rule our every word and action. It's the message of the cross that gives us meaning and purpose as a Christian community and as individuals. And it defines our role in the wider community as we go about our tasks in the church, as and in groups and as individuals. We are connected to the cross in some way, and as we gather at Grace Lutheran. And just as Jesus cares for us, feeds us, provides for our welfare, comforts us, counsels us, guides us, and supports us, likewise, we are challenged to do the same things for those that Jesus sends in our pathways. His words, "Do so to your neighbor," as he said in the story of the Good Samaritan, encompasses every possible need and the meeting the needs of kindness and action. It's a challenge that Jesus gives us as he says, "You must forget yourselves and carry your cross and follow me." It's true that every part of this building probably has echoes of the cross, and it's dedicated to caring for others and as we gather to meet our needs in this particular time, but it's that role of the church that it has of carrying out physical, emotional, and spiritual things to those who enter its doors and those that we might serve in our community. Life wasn't meant to be easy living under the shadow of the cross. It certainly wasn't for Jesus. And for us as a church, we're confronted with new challenges and sometimes frustrates, and sometimes it makes us wonder, what on earth is God doing in our midst? But he's called on us to fulfill that command, to go and do likewise. It requires ongoing commitment of time, energy, money, and the ministry of that service to grow it in our community. But along with that pain of the cross, there's always that grace and that mercy that God gives, and yes, some joy. Beyond the cross is joy and peace that comes from knowing that we are living as his people, ready and willing to help and to be used and to carry that message of the cross. And even if it should feel heavy at times and we begin to feel down and weary and start despairing, when the task seems too big, there that God will help us. And so we live under the shadow of the cross, and guided by that message in all that we do. May we too, like Paul, take that message to preach Christ crucified, to hold high the cross that all may see the love of Christ, and to trust in Him as Lord and Savior, and to give Him the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.